We're taking a look at New Jersey on this week's State of the Union, and joining me now to discuss what matters to voters in the Garden State is WNYC's own Bob Henley. I'm very pleased to welcome him here to discuss number 46 in our series. We waited 46 states before we got to New Jersey.
I have a conflict.
The House vote on the bailout proposal yesterday has been dominating today's headlines. How did New Jersey's congressional delegation vote?
It was an amazing story. In some ways, it trumped and showed encapsulated what happened in America. It went down to defeat 7-6. That's right. The bill about bailing out New Jersey's major industry, or one of them certainly, the finance sector, went down 7-6. And I knew I was through the looking glass when I saw that you had Congressman Payne, Steve Rothman, and Bill Pascrell on the liberal side, certainly. In the case of Rothman, an early supporter of Senator Obama, he's a Northeast chair for Obama, siding with Scott Garrett, the conservative Republican. All of a sudden, I realized that the left and the right had come together in a weird convergence.
But the two on the right are retiring congressmen.
The ones that voted yes.
Yes. So they didn't have anything to lose, did they?
Well, the ones on the left, and that brings us to these two open seats we have in New Jersey, which is a miracle. As you know, so rarely do you have open seats in Congress. We have two out of the 13 that are open. In the 7th Congressional District, which is New Jersey's waistline, that goes out Somerset from basically the Hudson all the way across to Delaware. And in that race, that is the seat that used to belong to Mike Ferguson, who's retiring at 39. Some say because Assemblywoman Linda Stender, the Democrat who challenged him last time, kind of chased him out. She almost won in that district. She's back again, this time facing Republican State Senator Leonard Lance, who's kind of from the Christie Whitman school of thought. He's pro-choice but fiscally conservative. Then in the 3rd district, we have Saxton Republican, who's retiring for health reasons. He voted yes along with Ferguson yesterday. And in that district, you have State Senator Democrat John Adler, big Obama supporter, facing Chris Myers, who is the mayor of Medford and Burlington County.
Leonard Lance, the Republican running against Linda Stender, had a really tough primary race.
Brutal.
Did that hurt him, do you think? Because nasty things are said, and they're remembered, aren't they?
And also, you have to spend a lot of money. This was a major cattle call, to use an industry theater term. There were like 7 candidates running against him, so he had to spend a lot of money up front. And that's tough then when you come into what is considered one of the hottest prospects for the Democratic Party nationally. In fact, both the 3rd and 7th are attracting national interest.
So what are the major issues in these House races? Are they the same as we are seeing in the presidential campaign, or does New Jersey have specific problems that have to be addressed?
It's economy, 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 because it comes down to really the question of being over-leveraged. And New Jersey was a place where people, to make the cost of living, borrowed extensively. They're also very dependent on the financial sector. Consider that some 1% of the top earners pay 40% of the income tax.
Well, I would have thought that because New Jersey is a homeowner state, that the congressional representative would have voted differently.
Well, I think the thing here is that I think the pundit class and the political leadership is missing the fact that this is really a repudiation at the grassroots that we missed because we don't talk to regular people enough. This is really sliding from being a crisis of finance to a crisis of character, and it's really not being put in those terms. And so people calling in, and they are jamming the lines of both the candidates who want to get into Congress and the incumbents there, are talking about the potential, for instance, that there's criminality involved. I mean, in New Jersey, the skepticism runs deep. They pay very close attention. Remember, before Bear Stearns was being taken over by the federal government and given over to J.P. Morgan, there was an ongoing criminal investigation that resulted in 2 indictments. So people are really skeptical, I feel, at the grassroots to give them more money.
Well, New Jersey's had its own history of corruption in politics.
No.
So are New Jersey voters more suspicious than voters in other states?
I think that they probably understand finance a little bit more, not to be, arrogant about it, but to some degree, they've lived by this leveraged sword. And the other thing, too, is the state has been in debt for so long, and there's just a kind of growing cynicism. One of the things that's fascinating in some places, you see that this change is happening at the mid-level of the ballot. What do I mean by that? You have Linda Stender, Assembly Democrat, running ahead of Obama in her district. That's kind of interesting to me. It's like people are willing to cross over. And the other thing that really helped Democrats is this marathon primary between Clinton and Obama paid off big time with a 500,000 new Democrats.
But I find it interesting that New Jersey, I think, has just passed Connecticut as having the highest median income and the highest number of millionaires of any state. And yet this state, which was once a Republican-leaning state, has been voting Democrat in recent elections. Gore won by 16% of the vote. Kerry won it by 7%.
Well, Bush did a little bit better the last time, but one of the things
Did better all around the country the second time around.
Right. The drift, I think it has to do with really the story of our listeners, for instance. We know so many people that move from Park Slope to the Upper West Side to Maplewood.
And so this is a demographic shift?
It is. Much of it is a demographic shift and also diversity. New Jersey, especially along the I-78 corridor, there's people from all over the world that have thrown their lot in with New Jersey to have proximity to the markets.
So is New Jersey, like so many other states, a state that divides north-south or east-west? Are the people on the shore likely to vote differently than people inland?
Well, they're likely to be influenced by different things between the north and the south, particularly in the 3rd District. This is a problem because that's Burlington and Camden counties. This is the most expensive district because you're in the Philadelphia market, 4th most expensive, and in the New York market, the 1st and most expensive. So that's the thing that drives people's perceptions.
And it is odd that New Jersey has these two major markets, neither of which are in the state.
Exactly right. Makes us kind of derivative.
But so New York politics drive northern New Jersey politics, and Philadelphia politics drive southern New Jersey politics?
To a large degree. One of the things is that when you go out, you know, Mayor Bloomberg has a higher visibility recognition often than many local officials in New Jersey. I mean, certainly one of the things that's happened in the 5th Congressional District is that's northern New Jersey, that's Sussex and Bergen County. You have Scott Garrett, who's really risen to national prominence. While he was even on BBC on our station, he's really in a leadership position against this, you know, this part of the populist uprising against the bailout plan. He's really increased his stock by raising his visibility in this debate.
It's interesting that 58% of New Jersey voters are registered as independents. That's a majority, a strong majority.
Well, something just happened, actually. The latest data from the registrars show that New Jersey is like 1.7 million Democrats and 1 million Republicans. The technical definition of a swing state is when the unaffiliated voters outnumber both parties combined. That's no longer true. Actually, there are more Democrats than unaffiliated, while the affiliated are still bigger than, you know.
Is that why New Jersey hasn't elected a Republican senator since the 1970s?
Well, I think it has to do with the fact that, you know, look at the candidates that they've had, and they've been able to marshal incumbency. And also, the state is, like I say, these fundamental demographic changes have made it so that I think that there's so much momentum, it's really hard for a Republican to win statewide now.
So can Barack Obama count on winning the state?
Well, they like to try to make a run at the fact that he might be able to – that McCain can take a – you know, make it close. But I think at this point, it really – you know, Obama's got the edge, certainly.
Although I've been looking at polls, and it seems to me that – they're all over the place, whereas other states you have a certain consistency. Maybe there are 2 or 3 point differences. In New Jersey, they're all over the place.
Yeah, there is not really consensus, but everyone so far has seen – you have McCain surge a little bit. I mean, one of the things that has to be understood about this way of looking at this race is the Republicans – we had the chance to be at both conventions. Giuliani, who has a very high visibility and strong numbers in New Jersey, ran kind of a counter convention, almost on his own out there at Denver during the Democratic message, where he had events every single day and gave out free ads for the McCain campaign, which the media put on. The Democrats did not run that counter strategy. In fact, canceled plans to step on the Republican convention. And I think that paid some dividends for John McCain. Also, he was quicker to identify.
Well, the Democrats couldn't have done it partly because
of
the hurricane, and it would have seemed too partisan.
But they also made a decision to pull the war room. There was a moment where they made a clear decision to dismantle. Also, keep in mind that McCain's top lieutenants, Stephen Schmidt, who was an acolyte of Karl Rove, comes from New Jersey. Bill Duhaime also. So you have these top people in the organization who want to always believe that New Jersey is in play.
Well, McCain won the Republican primary by more than 23 points. He was losing primaries to more conservative candidates all throughout the country, but I suspect it's because he was a moderate appealing to New Jersey-style Republicans.
It was a very small turnout relative to the Democrats, and also he has come in at the retail level for, like, State Senator Bill Baroni. I mean, he's done the rubber chicken circuit where he's got the exits memorized, so he paid his dues.
My guest is Bob Hennelly of WNYC, and he's our guest today talking about the about New Jersey as part of our State of the Union series. Frank Lautenberg, who is now 84 years old, it's hard to attack John McCain on his age under those circumstances, he's decided to run for re-election again. Is this going to be a tight race?
So far, it looks like he's up against Dick Zimmer, who was a former congressman. Dick Zimmer has been involved as a, you know, pharmaceutical lobbyist, and someone that knows New Jersey well is considered – he's got some visibility, but Lautenberg has a tremendous advantage here.
Well, he's on the Commerce Committee, and I assume that he's been able to use that to his home state's advantage.
Well, actually, New Jersey does very poorly when it comes to its rate of return. Generally, it lags at near the bottom of its rate of return. I think we send, for every dollar we send, we get like some 68 cents back. It's not a really good recipe there.
It's interesting also to note that the senators haven't always voted in the interest of the major corporations of the state. For example, the state – well, Carl Levin will definitely always vote with Republicans when it comes to fuel emission standards because of the car industry in Michigan. But New Jersey is home to a number of major pharmaceutical companies, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Novartis, Schering Plough, and yet both senators voted against the Medicare prescription drug benefit that the drug companies were supporting.
Right. Well, in that case, that's something where they're looking at the impact to the people on a fixed income, and they had a different read on it. Also, one of the things that is a major issue here is the slide of New Jersey's critical infrastructure for research and development. I'm talking about the great glory that was Bell Labs, Sarnoff Center. One of the real things that's been depressing to watch is, as we got into this leveraged society, really cashing in on this critical stuff that's about the future. And there is a great deal of concern that the population is drifting west and often taking with them some of these great centers of research.
What happened to Bell Labs? It was linked, I guess, to Princeton, wasn't it?
Well, it was all part of the three-card money of the telecom thing, kind of like loosen AT&T, now you see it, now you don't, chopping it up, moving it around. I mean, basically, there's something when you're pressed to have to generate rate of return each quarter, and the markets here have such an appetite for high double-digit rate of return, you can't make long-term investments. And that's really when I talk about the question of character in the economy, this comes back to that as an example.
Well, corruption has been an issue in New Jersey politics for years, but it's also been an accepted part of the political culture of the state, hasn't it?
I don't know accepted is the right term, because occasionally can result in an uprising where people toss them out. I mean, Chris Christie, the U.S. attorney, Republican most likely to run against John Corzine for Corzine's second term, has, I think, at this point had some 140 officials that he's indicted and convicted. So it is broad-based, but it's a bipartisan tradition.
Yeah. Although Sharp James, probably the most prominent name, was a Democrat. And I wonder if party bosses in New Jersey are more powerful than they are in most other states. Is that what leads to the corruption?
I think that the party bosses, that phase is going on. You just saw recently where John Ferriero from Bergen County, the chairman of the Bergen County Democratic Party, was just indicted. Basically, I think that what happened with the Obama campaign, remember, so many people of the regular organization backed up Hillary Clinton, the people on the inside who had the inside track. And with Obama winning the nomination, that really has changed the party dynamic. So I think you're going to see a new generation of leadership come in and challenge that hierarchy, Cory Booker being a case in point in Newark as a rising star both nationally and regionally. Backed Obama, has a close relationship with him, and now he's running Newark.
He also backed Joe Lieberman when he was running as an independent, so it's a complicated.
Are you sure? Really?
Well, no, I think he ran. He did. He backed Joe Lieberman when he was running for the Democratic nomination, which he lost. A 1993 campaign finance law allowed county parties to take larger contributions than candidates
yes,
can.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that strengthens the bosses, doesn't it?
Actually, it's pay to play. One of the things that what I mean by that is, public agencies, and I'm working on something about the Port Authority now, historically, back in the day, governmental transportation agencies and these large regional transportation agencies had in-house engineers. We could do it internally. And over time, as there was pressure to look like we were shrinking government, we subbed all this work out. And so that's one of the pernicious things people don't realize is more and more we're going to outside contractors all over at municipal level and regional transportation agencies for engineering services that used to be supplied by public employees.
This sounds like what the federal government has been doing over the last 8 years.
This goes back to the question of national character. That's why it's so myopic to look at the bailout in terms of helping out Wall Street. It's really a whole cultural shift.
Is John Corzine vulnerable when he runs for re-election because of all the economic problems? He's going to have to raise taxes, isn't he?
His real problem is the fact that he's holding on to some 700 emails that were sent back and forth between Carla Katz, who was the head of one of the most powerful state labor unions, and Governor Corzine. And they had an intimate relationship at one point. There was a tremendous amount of money that changed hands where I think coming out of the relationship when he became governor, he tried to, compensate her in significant ways. That came to light. She was repudiated by the national union, and he's continuing to cite executive privilege as not releasing these emails, which really keeps the focus on what should be just a footnote to history.
Sounds like something that happened in Detroit recently.
Doesn't it?
Now, New Jersey does have the highest property taxes in the country. Is that because
I'm proud of it?
Because the state income tax is low?
I think it has to do with the fact that there's 566 towns and all kinds of school districts. It has more government per square mile than just about any place else on earth. That's come somewhat out of the Dutch tradition of home rule. But there is this, and to some degree, I think it's also driven by perhaps by some racism in the sense that school districts are organized in a way that stay very balkanized, and there's so much local government. It's huge.
So the districts where there's a large minority population are likely to have under-financed schools.
We did have a major court case, the Abbott decision, which tried to equalize that out. We've come off of several years of billions of dollars, but there was corruption that riddled through that opportunity, and of course, some of the schools didn't get built.
Now, the state does have trouble raising revenues, and there have been proposals to lease the New Jersey Turnpike and raise tolls.
Well,
likely?
Well, one of the things that, not right now, because Governor Corzine tried to retail that, and I followed that very closely going to town hall and people just, there's something emotional about the Turnpike. And remember, Corzine's a farm guy from Indiana. He doesn't get why we feel so personal about the Turnpike. It's an emotional thing.
Because it's so historic. But also, in many states, you don't have to pay as much to go from the north to the south as you do in New Jersey.
No, that's true. And also, one of the things I think that's happened is the run-up of fuel did change the public perception. I mean, for years, and I have to credit the McCain campaign for thinking ahead of the curve here, their candidate pushed for offshore drilling, and that did get some resonance with New Jersey voters. I mean, they've been usually strongly environmental, but at $4 a gallon, maybe not so much about the environment.
Does Governor Corzine have a good relationship with the state legislature?
He got off to a shaky start with the shutdown that happened where they kind of faced each other off. I think that now he's learned how to communicate with them, but we're going to be really seeing some trying times ahead. The last quarterly numbers that close at the end of this month are going to show the state what they need to do, and we may be looking at $500, $600 million cuts in the current year.
Aside from the Turnpike, is infrastructure a big issue? Are most of the roads in good shape?
No, it's pretty much a disaster. I mean, one of the things that's a legacy of the disconnect where Washington doesn't fund us. I mean, if you're in Virginia, you're getting $1.30 per dollar. In Alaska, forget about it.
Why is this? Are the senators just not fighting hard enough?
Or it has to do with
should you have elected Ted Stevens or something?
I think it's part of it. The fact is a lot of the federal funding is based on per capita income, and so it looks like we're all doing well. The other thing is New Jersey, like the Northeast in general, and the late Senator Moynihan made this point so well. We have the oldest infrastructure historically because we messed the environment up here and took the land from the Indians first here. And so in terms of getting it fixed up, we have this legacy. I mean, there's this ridiculous thing with the Pulaski Skyway where it costs more to fix and replace, but we're stuck. It's like a homeowner whose roof leaks, but they have to keep patching it because they can't afford to put a new one on. That's the conundrum we're in, Lenny.
Well, the Tappan Zee Bridge is going to be replaced.
Oh, really? You sure?
Well, that's what they say.
Right after the Freedom Tower is built. No?
Bob Hennelly is a reporter for WNYC, and he's been my guest today on State of the Union talking about his home state, New Jersey.
Thanks.